Good morning, my dear brothers, sisters, and friends. This morning, we're going to talk about surrounded by enemies. This is a story all of you know, but today we will study some details written for us. We'll see how God's hand and presence goes with us in spite of whatever is happening around our lives. What is written in the Bible is not just part of the past. The Word is alive, and it is an evidence that God doesn't change, and His power is on our side today as it was in the past, and it will be forever. This marvelous story took place almost 3,500 years ago. Yes, we'll talk about God's people, Israel. People say that there were more than a million people leaving Egypt to get to the land of milk and honey. The same as Israel was led to a promised land, we are also going to a promised land. We are pilgrims in this world, surrounded by enemies. But what we need to understand is that enemies are already defeated and we are already victorious. What is the definition for promised land? It says it is a happy place or condition that someone wants to reach, a place where dreams and or hopes can come true. You know, I'm sure, about the 430 years of slavery. But a new way was open for Israel. We'll meditate about three aspects of this story. Number one, the physical and undeniable reality. Number two, the promise of God, the spiritual reality. And number three, a reaction to both realities. But today we'll start with verse two, and we'll continue with number three next Sunday, God will. So number one, the physical reality. We'll base this class on Exodus 14. Try to study the whole chapter later. The Israelites were leaving Egypt, but when they were camping, in a moment, Exodus 14:10 says, they looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. That was the physical reality. The enemy is always marching after us. It is true the enemy was much, much stronger than them. And of course, today is the same thing. The enemy has his army to force us to go back to slavery or kill us. That's why the Lord warns us about this lion that wants to devour us. He is the thief that comes only to steal and kill and destroy, according to John 10:10. The strategy of the enemy may change, but not his intention. These people had the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh with his army behind them. Have you ever felt there's no way? None of your possible doors are open? You don't know what to do, and you get discouraged, disappointed, and frustrated? Sometimes we suffer terrible things that we didn't cause, but we cannot solve. For example, when we or somebody we love gets terribly sick and the doctor's diagnosis is hopeless. When we lose our job or someone we love dies. You know, all of us have undergone trials, right? The list can be endless. These days, for example, The whole world is fighting against an enemy, a real one, even when it is invisible. Verse 10 of this chapter 14 says that the Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Last Sunday we said that the opposite of faith is not doubt, but fear. Once we fear, doubt will jump out immediately. So they saw themselves caught between the army and the sea, the Red Sea. In which direction could they go? Haven't you felt that way? Don't you think that's the way many people feel today? Listen to what they said to Moses in verse 12. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And this verse 12 says they were more than afraid, they were terrified, they panicked. Isn't this a picture of today's situation? Egypt represents the world. These God's people had been so many years in Egypt that they began acting according to the Egyptian culture, and some even learned to worship the gods, the Egyptian gods. That's why they were so quick in asking Aaron to make an idol cast in the shape of a calf. And they said, These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Exodus 32:4. The world, or Egypt, is the place we were out of. God help us not to look back ever, or think not even for a second we had a better time in slavery. I can't avoid thinking about the Apostle Paul in all his trials. But he knew for sure all circumstances he faced were temporary, and he was going to his promised land, aimed to the goal. He says, talking about Moses, he says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:27. Can we see God? Can we see him instead of our circumstances? Think about ways to do it. This is a time to analyze what we have been doing and how we become better in all aspects. Better fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, friends, better children of God, better Christians, real doers of the word. And let's go to part two, the promise of God, the spiritual reality. It's clear circumstances are there everywhere. But since our citizenship does not belong to this world, but to heaven, we should behave as citizens of the kingdom. Where does it say so? Well, you can go to Philippians 3:20 and 21, and it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is powerful, isn't it? So what had God said about his children? Let's go back to Exodus 14:4. Pharaoh will pursue them. But that's what God said. But, and what, when God says but, we need to pay attention carefully. He said, Pharaoh will pursue you, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And Moses had also told them not to fear. In verse 14, Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. So, my dear ones, when we cannot change circumstances, we just need to be still. How have people reacted these days? Being still? Certainly not. At least not the majority. They're complaining about being stuck in their houses and about, you know, many other things. I want to read a message I got from Sister Judy. We were talking about how difficult it is to be restricted. And that's real. But she said, but, again, but, she said, but I know God's got a plan. And I don't want to ruin that plan. I want to be in His will. And I'm sure you also think this way. Our hope is the Lord, and we trust Him. I want to make a parenthesis here. Let me tell you this. This church, your church here, you all are so supportive that everybody is connected to Pastor and others as a big family, as a body. Believe me, there are many churches where members don't even know who belongs to their group. I've said this other times, and I want to repeat it before I leave to my country. You are a church of love. God help you never change. Well, let's see what God did when His children were terrified and complaining. God has been with them all the time, and His angel was always in front of them. There was also a cloud in front of them. Verses 19-20, King James says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. See what God did? See how God does whatever He needs to move to protect His children, to keep us safe from our enemies? This is glorious. We don't need to be worried about or even be afraid of the enemy. What He promised is what He's going to do, no doubt. Psalms 30, verse 5 says that weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Who or what are our enemies today? Sickness? Financial crisis, fears, the future. In spite of what we see in the physical, there's an almighty God in front of us, around us, and in us. He can send His angels to move in all directions. The Holy Spirit is in us. 1 Corinthians 16:17 says, Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? And also says that God's temple, you, me, us, God's temple is sacred, and you together at that temple. This is what we rely on, not on what our physical eyes see or what any of our senses perceive, because we are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in us, as Romans 8:9 says. And this verse continues, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. We have an advantage, all of us, you know, over the Israelites. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So let's finish this part two, resting on God's promise that He'll never leave us, as Pastor taught last Sunday. He'll never leave us. And as Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for us. We need only to be still. May the Lord bless your life.